Let's open with hymn number 16. Of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Then shall ye call upon me and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and I will turn your captivity, and gather you from all nations and from all places. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land, Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast hitherto granted us peace and graciously spared us from war and foreign dominion. We pray Thee graciously let us continue to live in Thy fear according to Thy will, giving no cause for wars or other punishment. Govern and direct our magistrates that they may not hinder the obedience due to Thee, but maintain righteousness that we may enjoy happiness and blessing under their government, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this last Sunday after Trinity is found in the 35th chapter of Isaiah, the 3rd through the 10th. Verse reading as follows: Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitations of jackals where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the first through the 11th verse, reading as follows. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Here ends the epistle lesson. The king's daughter shall be brought unto the king. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Hallelujah. The gospel is found in the 25th chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 13th verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But rather go ye to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Here ends the Gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 67.
Thank you.
and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the second chapter of Joel, the 28th through the 32nd verse. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my manservants and on my maidservants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. And as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Comfort us with this thy truth in this last day of the earth, that we may await the bridegroom and be ready when he comes to enter into our heavenly joy. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, the great and awesome day of the Lord is a day that every Christian should fix in his heart, for which every Christian should hope. For as the end of the world draws ever nearer, more blood will be spilled, more and greater deceptions will unfold, and more disasters of every kind will overtake men unaware. It is no coincidence that Jesus describes this time of the end as a watch in the night, when the virgins await the bridegroom to come to the wedding feast. For the last days are indeed a time of darkness, and the world in which we live dwells in darkness. Fear is born from darkness, for it is only by hiding the truth that fear can continue to plague a man's heart. No one who knows the truth will be ruled by fear, because the truth which God has prepared for men is more than sufficient to dispel the darkness and to cast out fear. Satan knows that the only way that he can hold men in fear and bondage is to give them a little truth, but to hold the greater part from them. He will gladly allow men to be afraid of damnation in hell if he can prevent them from knowing the Lord God by which sin is wiped away, by his love. Therefore, the only thing that casts out this fear is the fully unveiled light of truth, which is Jesus Christ, who came into the world to shine into our hearts and to reveal unto us the glory and the love of God. He reveals to us the perfect love of God, more perfect than any love which men may bear, for God's love is able to wipe away our sins. This is his light. But not all have received his light because they loved the darkness better. And it is always this way. When God reveals something good and beautiful, wicked men hate it and attempt to destroy it. But God always keeps a remnant, a little flock, whom he has called out of unbelief and given faith in Christ, even during the darkest times. He shined his light into their hearts by preaching, and in these last days he comforts them by baptism and the supper of his body and blood shed on the cross for their sins. Through these precious gifts, he pours out his Spirit upon this people, and he makes them the children of God by faith, and he delivers them upon those who call upon the Lord. The Apostle Paul declares in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of Jesus came and enlightened the minds of the disciples. He gave them special gifts so that they would be able to become mighty preachers of the Word of God. He brought all things to their memory that Jesus had said and done among them. And he opened their understanding of the Scriptures. And he caused them to speak in languages that they did not know. And he revealed to them things that were to come. On that day, he showed his heavenly light quite literally by causing cloven tongues of fire to appear above their heads as a sign of the light which God had given to them. They spoke the wonderful works which God had done in his Son Jesus Christ, and men heard the word and many believed. And not only the apostles, but many in those days were thus gifted by the light of God, so that they could prophesy of things to come and proclaim his word with boldness among men. What mighty signs God revealed in those days. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see such things again today? Truly, but God chooses to do these things when and where he wishes. He did not promise that everybody would experience these signs firsthand. And there is no reason for everyone to see them with their own eyes, because he has revealed them to all men. We have the witness of Scripture, something even better than signs and wonders, something far better than the word of mouth. What good are wonders without the clear word of God, which reveals their meaning? They would be meaningless. Satan also knows this, but he also knows that men love wonders. And so, he has his own lying signs and wonders by which he deceives men. No, signs alone are not enough. Nor does God have to keep proving himself to men over and over again. That is why God gave us the perfect light of Scripture. And he preserves it among us so that the testimony of his power and of his salvation will always remain with men in a clear form that all can comprehend if they will but hear it. No one can use the excuse that God has not told them what he would do. But though some signs have ceased in our day, as indeed the Apostle Paul told us they would, this does not mean that they are unimportant. Even those things which happened on the day of Pentecost are relevant for us today, just as they were during those days. In Joel, we see that the sign of Pentecost is joined together with other signs in the earth and in the heavens, and these continue to occur today. We should count them all as one thing, joined together with a certain conclusion that Christ Jesus is near, and that he will soon appear. For us, the signs of blood and smoke and fire are united to the sign of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon men. Therefore, let the dreary signs remind us of the glorious word preached by the apostles, that in this day of trouble we might call on the name of the Lord while we still can, and be delivered from the judgment that all these signs announce. It may seem strange to talk of Pentecost when we are at the opposite end of the Trinity season, but God has joined the beginning of his New Testament church with the end. He wants you to understand that you are living in the end times. Note carefully how Joel describes the time of this prophecy as "in those days." He says this not only of the prophesying and visions of Pentecost, but also of the terrible signs of destruction in the earth and the sky, and of the deliverance of the Lord. He joins together the events of Pentecost to the end of the world as one thing, one period of time, the time in which we live. When Peter quoted this passage on the day of Pentecost, instead of using the words "in those days," he said "in the last days." The last days prophesied by Joel had arrived. Let no one doubt that this prophecy of Joel has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled among us now. Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, has declared in no uncertain terms, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the apostles were living in the end times. And here we are 2,000 years later. Was the Holy Spirit wrong? By no means. Since the end of the world has not yet come, the end times are still at hand. For the phrase end times really means nothing else but that this is the last age of the earth. This is the last period in time in which God will deal with men as he has in the past, according to his word and the prophets. And at the end is the day of judgment, when the Lord himself will return visibly to rejudge the living and the dead, and then there will be no mistaking him and no excuse. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, Paul speaks of the history which God gives in the Old Testament thus. All these things happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And so as this prophecy of Joel has been fulfilled, we should not expect that in order for Christ to come, our sons and daughters must start prophesying of things to come. Nor should we expect that our old men must still dream dreams or our young men see visions. God may choose to repeat such signs, but he has already given them. Even in those days when God spoke to the Jews who had his word, the prophesying of his faithful apostles right there at the time when uncontrovertible miracles were occurring in the eyes and ears of the people, their words fell on deaf ears. For the most part, in spite of the signs, men would not believe. Only the remnant which the Lord called has heard. If the signs of Pentecost were to occur today, they would not meet with any better result. We know this because though the Spirit does not show himself in such ways as he did then, the preaching of Pentecost has not ever ceased. Jesus continues to prophesy through the preaching of his word in the whole world. If anything, men are more hardened against the truth today than they were then. Satan has succeeded in obscuring the truth by spreading false gospels and false Christs everywhere. And those who do not fall prey to the false Christs hate even more the true word of Jesus, which calls them to repentance. Yes, they know of Jesus, the Savior, now. They do not believe on him. They mock him, and they would crucify him again if they could. If this is how people react to the word of Jesus, it is little wonder that God does not continue to pour out his Spirit in such manifest ways as he once did. But there are other signs given by Joel, which continue on. He describes them as wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Well, these things have certainly been fulfilled. Blood is listed first, and it was the first to be fulfilled. The blood of his Christians was spilled in great numbers in the days of the apostles already. And since those days, millions more Christians' blood has been shed. And even beyond them, the blood of millions in the world has been shed in ways so great. By first century standards, it would be unimaginable. We take it for granted, and we hardly blink anymore when we hear of the mass slaughters of world wars or oppression. We could rationalize that this is the work of men, so how could it be the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy? But of course it is the work of men. God does not wish such death and destruction upon men. He wants them to turn from their evil and to be saved. He wants them to repent of their wickedness and receive his Son, Jesus Christ. But men have their way, and they shed blood in abundance, and they fill the earth with violence. God sees this. He prophesies so that we might know that even as this wickedness increases, it is still so that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If he could not deliver us when we needed it, he would not be much of a deliverer. Jesus is our Savior, especially in the day of trouble. Still other signs he declares. Pillars and fire and pillars of smoke, the sun turning into darkness, and the moon into blood, or literally blood red. And these things have taken place also many times. Darkness indeed covered the earth when the Son of God was crucified, when he bore the pains of hell, and the Father's face was turned away a little while. But since that time, we have seen other more natural occurrences of darkness. Great volcanoes have spewed fire and smoke high into the sky, darkening it and making the moon blood red because of the ash and smoke that filled the air. No generation of men has been without these signs, and no doubt we will see more of them if our Lord does not come soon. And so if men will not believe the prophesying visions and dreams which God has already granted them, let them have blood and fire and smoke. And why does God bother giving us signs at all? For two reasons. First, for the unbeliever, so that none of them can ever claim that God did not warn them. When the Lord Jesus shall appear, all men will know him, and they will be without excuse. He warned, but men would not listen. But the second reason for these signs is for us, his saints, the remnant of his people whom he called out of unbelief unto faith. He wants us to see the signs of the end take place around us and remember his words. For as dreadful as the great day of the Lord is, he has given us hope and a promise that we might not be afraid. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. At the same moment when men rush around in fear, God's people call upon his name. When they call upon his name, they are calling upon his salvation. And therefore they rejoice, because they know it is theirs. And as the world falls around them, they stand up to meet his Son. But will we be prepared to meet him when he comes? These signs for us have a special meaning. They show us how soon the judgment can come. For if we give little care to at all to the word of our Savior, if we pay what he has promised us no heed and take no note of the times that are around us, there will be no time to prepare for his coming later. It will be too late. We will arrive at the gates of heaven and the door will be shut. And that is why today he calls us to confess our sins and call upon his name. He does not ask us to call on his name in the last day, but in this day. The signs should therefore instill in us a sense of urgency that time is short. Call upon the name of the Lord today, lest when he comes you will hear his reply, "I know you not." We are in the period of time told by Christ in the great parable of the 10 virgins. We await the coming of the bridegroom. We should not make light of the warnings of the great and awesome day of the Lord, or think that since we are the redeemed of the Lord, we need pay no heed. Remember well the word of Jesus. How many shall say on that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not done wonderful works in your name?" But the Lord declares, "Verily I say unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." It is too late then to call out as the virgins did, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." They had time to wait upon the Lord, but they wasted the time living for themselves. They had no oil in their lamps because they paid no heed to the faith of Christ. They gave so little attention to his gospel of salvation and were distracted by the things of this world that when the end drew near, their faith had run out. They had no oil in their lamps when it really mattered. The Lord had come, and they were not ready. and the door to heaven was shut. It will do no good to call upon the name of the Lord in the last day, because at that point he will already have separated those who are his from those who are not. When Jesus says, "The words I know you not," they cannot be taken back. They are for eternity. For in the outer darkness of hell, he will no longer think upon the lost. The day of salvation for us, therefore, must be today. For we have this promise that out of Zion and Jerusalem comes our deliverance. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. The grace of God in Jesus Christ is ours right now. Today he calls you with the good news of the forgiveness of sins. And he promises you a place in his kingdom as a son and daughter. Therefore, look for the coming of your bridegroom. Await him and call upon his name. May we therefore call upon him while he is near, and so be delivered from the destruction of this world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who hast saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to thine own purpose and grace, given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, we thank thee for the abundance of thy mercies, but especially for the gift of thy Son, in whom, through his sufferings and cross, thou hast abolished death, and through his resurrection brought life and immortality to light. Grant that by thy grace we may ever continue in the things we have learned through thy word, and of which we have been assured by thy Holy Spirit, so that being wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus, we may receive on the day of his coming the crown of righteousness which he has laid up for us and for all who love his appearing. To this end, save us from following after perversions and denials of his truth, and from giving heed to lies, deceptions, and vain philosophies. And as he shall come to judge all the living and the dead, Help us to endure in meekness for thy name's sake such pain and adversity as we are called upon to bear. To behold the signs of the times and to look for the new heavens and earth which the redeemed of the Lord shall inherit in everlasting joy and gladness. Give strength to thy church that with fervent spirit she may fight the good fight of faith. Give thy blessing to the church's institutions of mercy and grant thine aid to all who labor therein. Bestow heavenly grace upon our parents that they may teach their children the way of life in Christ Jesus and keep the young ever faithful in word and deed. Govern the nations upon earth and plead thine own cause amongst the multitudes that they may be turned from sin to righteousness. Look upon our land in mercy and make us repentant for our wickedness, immorality, and materialism. Subdue all evil in our midst and let thy word flourish so that truth and holiness may prevail. Hear the cry of the afflicted and give them thy compassionate aid. Make straight paths for them, strengthening the weak, upholding the feeble and healing the sick. Enlighten them so that they despise not their chastenings, but receiving them in trust and confidence, bring forth the helpful fruits of righteousness and joy. Preserve us all in steadfast faith, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his coming will manifest himself as the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn number 608. Oh, 609.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right unto you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis.